Hey, nice to have you here, as I've already mentioned. And hey, can we stick around for a while? Where do you got to go anyway? Okay, can we just say, no one's going to the beach, right? Okay, can we just say that? I can understand, you know, when it's July, you want to get out of, no, but look, we're going to stick around for a while, right? Okay, we're talking about the unseen world. Have you ever heard of the Raelians? The Raelians. Do you know that there's a religion out there called Raelianism? Okay? They believe that the earth was seeded by aliens. And that all the prophets of all the major religions were actually messengers from the Elohims, which is a Hebrew word for God, by the way. And they have been petitioning the Elohims. They have been petitioning the government of Israel to allow them to build an embassy to the Elohims in Jerusalem, because one of these days the Elohims are going to return and claim the earth in which they seated people. And in fact, they even say that to belong to Raelianism, you have to become an apostate of all other religions on the planet, and then you're allowed to become Aurelian. And they say that members of the Elohims appeared human in the past, having personal contacts, and they purposely misinformed early humanity to say that they were angels or cherubim, to fool people that these Elohim, these aliens from another planet, are what seeded the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've know anything about statistics, statistics are starting to show that over time, more and more and more people are believing that not only do aliens exist, but aliens are the reason why you and I are on this planet. You know, based on the X-Files or Chariots of the Gods, it doesn't matter what generation you're in. In fact, did you know that Hillary Clinton promised that if she became president, she was going to reveal all the secret files that the government had on UFOs? Okay, so that was a big, big deal. But like 48 or 50% of North Americans believe in aliens and believe that we have been visited by aliens. It's funny, Saturday night, I couldn't believe it. I was flipping the channels, and the History Channel actually had a program on aliens visiting the earth. I thought it was really funny. And they did all this historical stuff. In fact, Krishna, did you know Krishna, at one time, writes a story about what many people believe was an alien visitation. And there was these metal things flying in the sky, and they were zapping people, his army, and all this kind of stuff. They're in the Andes. There's a lake, the highest lake, I guess, in the world, and they can't figure out why this lake even exists. They say it's it had to be created by aliens, etc., 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 etc. So this is a huge topic, right? So it's such a huge topic, nobody's going to the beach today. I've only got 15 minutes, and I'm gonna read the longest passage in the and we're gonna look at the passage, but we're gonna look at the one passage in the Bible that people say proves that aliens exist. Okay? Yeah, over the years, this is the one passage that, you know, be it Van Doniken or any of those guys, they say this is the passage that proves that aliens exist. Okay, so please be patient with me. It's a long passage. It's 28 verses, but we got to read it. I was gonna shorten it, but I thought, no way, you're just gonna kill the passage, right? If you shorten it or anything like that. So I'm gonna read it. Here it is. It's out of Ezekiel. All right, and it starts right at verse 1. And here, and I'll make some comments as we go. Okay, on July 31st of my 30th year, while I was with the Judean exiles beside the Kibar River in Babylon, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. This happened during the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The Lord gave this message to Ezekiel, son of Buzi, a priest beside the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians, and he felt the hand of the Lord take hold of him. Now, just to pause there for a second, The Israelites are in captivity in Babylon. Okay, so this is what's happening. They're not even in Israel at this point in time. They're captives in the land of Babylon. A priest in the tradition of the Jewish people began his ministry at the age of 30 and ended at the age of 50. So here we have Ezekiel beginning his ministry as a priest, as a Levite. All right, so that's what's being introduced here. And to start his ministry as a priest, he's got this vision of God. Here, okay, so here's the next one. As I looked, I saw a great storm coming from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. There was fire inside the cloud, and in the middle of the fire glowed something like gleaming amber. From the center of the cloud came four living beings that looked human, except that each had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, and their feet had hooves like those of a calf and shone like burnished bronze. Let's keep going. Under each of their four wings, I could see human hands. So each of the four wings had four faces and four wings. The wings of each living being touched the wings of the beings beside it. Each one moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. Each had a human face in the front, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle at the back. Each had two pairs of outstretched wings, one pair stretched out to touch the wings of the living beings on the either side of it, and the other pair covered its body. Keep going. They went in whatever direction the Spirit chose, and they moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. The living beings looked like bright coals of fire or brilliant torches, and lightning seemed to flash back and forth among them. And the living beings darted to and fro like flashes of lightning. As I looked at these beings, I saw four wheels touching the ground beside them, one wheel belonging to each. Are you interested yet? Okay, let's keep going. The wheels sparkled as if made of beryl. All four wheels looked alike and were made of the same. Each wheel had a second wheel turning crosswise within it. The beings could move in any direction of the four directions they faced without turning as they moved. The rims of the four wheels were tall and frightening, and they were covered with eyes all around. When the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. When they flew upward, the wheels went up too. The spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. So wherever the spirit went, the wheels and the living beings also went. Let's hold on right there for a few minutes. Okay, you got wheels inside of wheels. Do you know that a NASA engineer actually used this passage and developed an omnidirectional wheel out of this passage, and he patented it a number of years ago? And all that kind of stuff. And when it says in four directions and all of that stuff, the text literally says from the four winds. So wherever this contraption moved, it would move in any direction possible. And it was done very easily. Notice all the lightning. Notice all the flashing. Notice all the sparkly lights and everything. Does it sound like a UFO to you? Okay, let's keep going. When the beings moved, the wheels moved. When the beings stopped, the wheels stopped. When the beings flew upward, the wheels rose up, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Spread out above them was a surface like the sky, glittering like crystal. Beneath this surface, the wings of each living being stretched out to touch the other's wings, and each had two wings covering its body. As they flew, their wings sounded to me like waves crashing against the shore, or like the voice of the Almighty, or like the shouting of a mighty army. When they stopped, they let their wings down. Here's the last bit, I believe. As they stood with wings lowered, a voice spoke from beyond the crystal surface above them. Above this surface was something that looked like a throne made of blue lapis lazuli, which is really valuable in that time and age. And on this throne, high above, was a figure whose appearance resembled a man. From what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like gleaming amber, flickering like a fire. And from his waist down, he looked like a burning flame, shining with splendor. All around him was a glowing halo, like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me. That's the key line, by the way. Okay? When I saw it, I fell face down on the ground and I heard someone's voice speaking to me. Powerful, eh? What is it? And by the way, when the voice speaks to him, it says, Son of Man, and it starts commanding him what to say to the Jewish people about their exile and all of that stuff. And what's really important about this particular passage and onward is Jesus adopted the terminology Son of Man as his favorite name for himself. Okay? Son of Man comes from the book of Daniel and comes from the book of Ezekiel. Okay? It talks about the prophet, the priest, and the king, because each of those designations are found in those prophetic books, and Jesus uses it as a designation for himself. So out of this passage, out of this prophetic book, comes much of the stuff that Jesus used to identify himself. And for the prophet Ezekiel, this was not a visitation from something else. Okay? Not. And by the way, this, we actually know the year when it says that, you know, in the 31st July and all that. This is the year 593 BC. 593 BC. We can go back to Babylonian records and we know about the captivity, all of that stuff, and look at the book of Ezekiel, because he actually dates certain things and we know the year and the years that he's talking about, which is kind of cool. In 593 BC, did aliens visit good old Ezekiel? Okay? That's kind of cool. All right? Strange visitation. You know, when it comes to aliens, you have to ask yourself it boils down to two major questions, okay? Number one is this, okay? Two major views. Number one, if aliens exist in the physical world, then, here's the thing, if aliens exist in the physical world, then, if you're a believer here this morning, you have to ask yourself, would God allow aliens to exist on another planet? Or are we just the only ones? And if that's true, How do we treat that? How do we treat that? Is God big enough to create aliens on another planet, you know, with a whole different program that we have here on Earth? Is that possible? All right? It's kind of like the evolution creation question, isn't it? Okay? Why is it that if you believe in evolution, you cannot believe in God? Why has that been proposed? Okay? Or if you believe in God, you can't believe in evolution, you know? Why is it that we think God is so small that just because there's evolution, we have to say that God couldn't have done that? All right? All I'm saying, I'm not telling you what I believe. All I'm saying is let's believe a bigger God. Fair? And then we'll talk about the biblical data in just a second. But let's believe in a biblical God. You guys are looking at me really strange, I tell you. You're looking at me really strange, right? That's why we demand that you leave all stones at the door. All weapons at the door. Nothing heavy when you walk in here. Got to check that purse, okay? Because if aliens exist in the physical world, you have to ask yourself, okay? If aliens exist in the physical world, God had to have something to do with it. Had to, all right? That's all I'm saying, okay? Now, talking about the biblical data, here's the other view, right? If aliens exist in another dimension, then that's a whole different thing, right? If aliens exist in another dimension, that's a whole different thing. What about, you know, what about angels? What about interdimensional stuff? What about alien, you know, what if aliens are from another dimension? Okay? More and more all the time is the Bible showing this truth about interdimensional beings coming into our world from another dimension. That's the thing. Okay, I want to read you something that I thought was very interesting. Have you ever heard of brain bias? Okay, you know, if you've ever been to a psychiatrist's office, they're going to ask you about, they're going to look into something that you might have called brain bias, okay? And they've studied this, and this is what they're saying. Are atheists who believe in aliens falling for one of humanity's oldest brain biases? And listen to this. There's a number of studies that has happened, okay? Religion, they say, has no more evidence for God than scientists have for extraterrestrials, is what this psychology believes. These two beliefs are as detached from proof as each other, yet both fill the all-too-human need to be comforted by the thought of another world, whether it takes the form of moral and kind sky gods or technologically advanced aliens. Is a belief in intelligent extraterrestrial life just another expression of our religions? Okay? What they claim is that a person who doesn't believe in God, like the way we traditionally believe in God, if they're an atheist, they're more likely going to believe in aliens, and not just any aliens, but aliens that are much smarter than we are. Why is it when we believe in aliens, we think they're so far advanced? What if we haven't come across aliens because they're really dumb? Hey, yeah. Why is it that for atheists to believe in other aliens and stuff like that they're far more advanced than we are? Why is it that we do that? They call that the brain bias, because we all have this need to believe in something greater than ourselves, something more intelligent than us, and all this kind of stuff. And they call this brain bias, that when if you're a religious person, you're going to believe in a God and someone who takes care of us and all that kind of stuff. Now, obviously, that's just psychology, and that's just crazy, and that's just nuts, because that has no basis in biblical proof, and that has no basis in the proof of who we are as human beings. Can I say that? Because if you're going to reject, why is it if you're going to reject religion that you start leaning to aliens and aliens that are smarter than us? What does that tell you about what we have as a basic need inside of us? That's the bigger question, right? That's the bigger question. And what the Bible does is try to satisfy this inner desire with truth, which is so much more meaningful in the end. So I find it comical that you have such a thing as brain bias. But listen, I'm already out of time, so here's the three big points I want to tell you about, okay? I'm already out of time. We're going to the beach? We're not going to the beach? Anybody get in on a flight out of here? No? No, this afternoon? Nobody? Okay. All right. Nobody's going on a flight out of here. How many people are coming over for Super Bowl? All right. That's a whole other thing. Right. Hey, by the way, if you missed, can I always say this out loud? If you missed church this morning because of the Super Bowl, shame on you. Okay? Can I just say that? Because it's tonight anyway, right? It's not even now. Okay. If you know anything about the book of Ezekiel, and it's not a place that many believers go to, this whole thing of, you know, Ezekiel. Ezekiel's a strange book. It's a prophetic book and all that stuff. But you have to be very careful reading it. Ezekiel never once treats any of the visions that he has, and he has a number of bizarre ones, as anything other than a message from God. He believes wholeheartedly that he has seen the very throne room of God come in power and glory and majesty, and it's what begins the communication with him. In fact, if you know anything about the book of Ezekiel, you'll know that in chapter 10, this very same vision is repeated, and he reiterates that it is God, Yahweh, coming in the clouds in might and glory, not like the other gods. And he is getting an absolute direction and vision from God. There's no sense of delusion by him whatsoever. Now, we read this passage and it seems really bizarre, right? It's this amazing picture. But here's the next point I want you to realize, that this vision has similarities to many other passages in the Bible. Do you know that Isaiah had very much a similar vision out of Isaiah 6. And there's elements of this, like this is by far, you know, the more dramatic one, right? Because, you know, Yahweh came in power and glory in front of Ezekiel, in front of the, you know, Kibar River. But at the same time, you know, Isaiah had a vision of God that was very similar to this. Do you know that in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John borrows heavily from this passage about the throne room of God? Now, I'm going to take that back. He didn't borrow from it. He had a vision very similar to what Ezekiel had. And John wasn't surprised by it because he knew that someone else had seen this too. Other passages in the Bible talk about, you know, if you read some of the Psalms, it talks about God coming on the clouds of heaven with thunder and lightning and power and all this stuff. Ezekiel had the privilege of seeing that firsthand. The last thing I want to say, the third point, is Scripture treats every instance that appears beyond our normal experiences as an interdimensional visitation. It treats it, you know, I can't think of any passage in the Bible that talks about aliens visiting Earth. It always talks in terms of interdimensional beings, be it demons, be it angels, that visit, that come from one dimension into our dimension and mess with us. And that we have to be very careful. This is the way that the Bible treats this kind of stuff. All right? Now, next week, I'm already into next week, okay? Next week, we're talking about angels. And this is going to be one of the biggies, okay? Because we've always heard about fallen angels and angels. And by the way, I think Christian.com actually is releasing a movie on aliens very, very, very soon, which I thought was interesting. Okay? But the Bible talks about the spiritual world in a way that we talk about it being the physical world. And we confuse the two, and we have to be very, very careful. And the reason why we have to be very careful is we get drawn into things that the Bible warns us against, that the Bible says is dangerous, that the Bible say would pervert reality, that the Bible says will, you know, make us feel like we are not image bearers of God on this planet. How valuable do you feel if you were just seated by aliens from another planet? What would that make you? And yet what the Bible teaches is we are made in God's image, that we are part of His purpose and plan, that the earth is a central part of His purpose for all of creation, and that we are to be light to everyone in the world around us, not just of who we are humanly speaking, but who God is as His character and nature. Are aliens among us? I don't know. I don't think so. At least not the aliens that maybe Hillary Clinton thinks she wants to. All right? I know that was really quick. Anyway, God bless you. Have fun in life groups. I'm sure I'm going to get lots of emails. Thank you very much. But we had a lot of fun. Be back next week when we talk about angels, okay? And pray for no snow next week, okay? Can we do that? Can we pray for no snow? All right. Thanks. Father in heaven, thank you for a quick run-through of aliens and this wonderful passage that really is amazing. To think that Ezekiel got to see Yahweh riding His chariot in all His glory and wonder and splendor. And Lord, how different would his life have turned out if he just thought it was a manifestation of something from another planet, instead of it being a message from you to all of humanity through the person of Ezekiel. Lord, it's amazing to me how much we miss. It is amazing to me how much we miss, especially in the Bible. And to think that passages like this are actually in there, not to confuse us, but to speak your truth. So, Lord, help us to see your word as the guide that it is, the truth that it is. And for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, not to be discouraged by what we hear around us, but to rely on your word more and more and more. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.